You're listening to Dr. Bill Cortestis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi on It's Complicated, the podcast that uncomplicates the mental and physical aspects of life and the aesthetic surgery to help anyone committed to achieving their personal best. Through the stories of the past and present patients, Drs. Cortestis and Bahardi share their unique vision for the future of aesthetic medicine and bring perspective for the leading edge of medicine, innovation, and entrepreneurship.
Hey, everybody. It's a great day today, and Bill and I are really excited to chat with everyone and talk about a really interesting topic that I think affects everyone who has a cell phone, basically. You know, the concepts of what social media can do and make alter people's behavior is pretty insane. For example, BBLs, super hot, now they're not. What do you think about all that, Bill?
Well, I think social media is good and bad, right? I think, you know, God bless it that we're able to communicate and showcase who we are for our prospective patients. We get to communicate with our friends, our family, show everybody what we have in terms of, you know, family pics, what we've been doing, you know, over the weekend. However, the downside is sometimes the reality of what we see on Instagram is not really real. And I think that that leads to this world of non-reality. And for some patients, it's not a good idea because they ultimately see a version of a person that they want to become that is not particularly real. Between filters, editing, you know, putting you different body parts, different sizes, you can sort of facade or fake the look and make people believe whatever you want to believe. So that's it's a double-edged sword of social media.
Yeah. So here's the thing is the craziest thing is when you see someone on social and it just has like this almost perfection kind of look, flawless, you know, curves. And it's just like, wow. And then positioning of the body, you know, when people are trying to show off their butts, they can tilt their waist and push things out and turn things. But, you know, you and I both have seen some of these patients in the office and you're like, wait a minute, is that the same person? And it's just a reminder that the altered reality that you can take, not only with just getting dressed up, makeup, et cetera, tanning, but also in the editing and the modification of the photos and also with the filters. And this is really interesting because everybody's on it, whether you like it or not. When you're sitting there, I use Instagram. Initially, I was like hardcore against all this stuff because I felt like it's an invasion of my privacy. But then from a standpoint of getting in touch with patients, it's like the best way. And all of our patients see us and see our results via these social media platforms. But what you do is you find yourself looking and looking and looking, and then you can go down these different rabbit holes all over social media. And then you end up, it just captures you. It pulls you in. And no matter what, and then there's also, obviously it's listening to you, right? It's hearing you, whether if you're trying to buy some new sunglasses, all of a sudden they'll just start appearing on there. And so all these pressures are coming from Instagram and the social media for people, especially in the aesthetic side. I mean, it is remarkable. And, you know, the question is, does Instagram or these social media platforms, are they actually dictating a patient aesthetic? Who's dictating that aesthetic? You know, I mean, do you think it's us? Do you think it's them? You think it's some super being that's running Instagram that's making people all look the same?
It's a combo of it all, to be honest with you, right? Like, individuals are looking for improvement, right? And they're looking for improvement for whatever reasons, for the relationship, for the way they're viewed by other people. And they need a standard to try to compare themselves to so that they can say, okay, this is what I want to look like. And this is what I need for those relationships. And they're looking to social media because it's easy. It's right there. It's at our fingertips. You said it best. It's on our phone. And so we can scroll, we can look, and we can see what's out there. And the problem I have is it's a fake reality. We always get asked, right? Are your pictures real?
Yeah.
100%. Like everything we post online is real. It's our before and afters. It's our patients. But is everything else?
But check this out though. So just think about when you and I are having conversations and we're like, man, I just can't, you know, this generation they got it so different. They're doing things so different. Let's peel some of the layers back, like, and think about concepts of aesthetics and beauty. How did people figure out how and what they wanted to do? Like, there's always been aesthetic ideals. They were just distributed differently, right? Maybe before it was just TV. Maybe before that was magazines. It was like cinema. And like, no matter what, there are different pressures and forces always at play. Is this just the evolution of where it is now? Like, is it really that different, or is it so freaking different? And I personally think it is a little different, but it's kind of always been happening. There's some always like this different aesthetic that's considered like attractive and beautiful. Or are you would you think differently?
My view of beauty is slightly different. And I think we kind of touched base on it. I think everybody's beautiful in their own right. But there's ideals that patients want. And I think it's up to us to be able to give them those results for whatever ideal that they're looking for, or to be the best version of who they are as individuals. But yes, social media is that new way, right? Maybe you see magazines, right? Maybe you picked up Vogue or one of the other beauty magazines and said, okay, this is where I want to be. Now it's, hey, let me go down TikTok. Let me go down, you know, Instagram. Let me see what the rabbit hole of social media where you can start and you're, oh my God, you look up and you've been on it for 30, 40 minutes and you're like, holy moly, what just transpired? You know, let's just take it a step back. Like, what do you tell your kids about social media and the pressures from it?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, you're trying to get kids to think for themselves, right? You're trying to get them to not let others or their peers make their decisions for them. But I mean, that's virtually impossible. And right now, like with our kids, we're pretty conservative on social media. They don't really have social media accounts, but they play on ours every once in a while. Part of me thinks that's great. Other part is like this is the medium of communication now. So the more you potentially deprive them of it, either the more they're going to want to do it, or they're going to potentially be sort of outliers and not potentially as productive members of society as they escalate in their stature and they in their schooling, etc. Again, I don't know. I'm just right now. I'm like, it scares me because it's like this gateway to like anything, and you know all these things like. They really affect how people behave and what you do. They have plenty of studies that show when you're scrolling through Instagram and you see something or you're involved in something, they're tagged by someone or liked by someone, like your pleasure receptors, your dopamine receptors are boom, 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 firing. And if you're not, like you go into like this transient state of depression. And it's really, it's remarkable and why a lot of these platforms are so incredibly successful. They're smart. I mean, they are preying on your pleasure centers so that you just go and likely you spend. And I think it's insane. And like the things that it makes people do is kind of wild. You know, when we started this out, we were talking about BBL. It was hot before and now it's not. But think about how many people have had those procedures. And now there are some people who are actually having reversals performed, quote unquote. You and I know that's a loaded kind of concept even in and of itself, what a reversal of a BBL is, because there's lots of things that we can do for that from a surgical standpoint. But it's interesting that those pressures and what that does and makes people do and the ultra high volumes that people are getting, you know, what's people getting multiple liters of fat put in their buttocks. I mean, looking insane. Whereas others were getting more of a, like what we practice is kind of this shape shift where we're moving small amounts just to have a nice contour. And you look at like the pressures like Vogue or some other magazines or the fashion industry put on people, maybe that led to like anorexia and things like that. So a lot of these things can make people take things to extreme. And that's the thing that you kind of have to be prepared for and understand. But social is a little different. Social is a lot smarter. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's what is the long-term complications or consequences of that operation you're doing on that patient?
Yeah.
For us, right? We always tell everybody, body contouring. You're getting a tummy tuck, lipo. What's the first thing we tell them that long-term? Maintain your body weight, mm-hmm. right? You gain weight. You're going to screw yourself and you're going to look kind of funky, especially if you gain a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Same with these BBLs, right? You're sort of making them in a way potentially cartoonish. And what are the long-term consequences of looking like that? If they gain a lot of weight or they lose weight, what does it do to the skin long-term? What does it do for potential cellulite? And I think it's up to us to try to uncomplicate these things for our patients to let them know, hey, if we do this, this is a potential risk long-term.
Yeah.
And unfortunately in medicine, we don't know everything today that's going to happen tomorrow. And if we did, we'd be super smart and be able to prevent any potential complication from ever arising. But as much as we do know, I think you and I do a really good job of trying to inform our patients of those long-term consequences.
You know, you raise a really good point. And this is one of those things where I think that's where it's up to us to figure out how to approach situations, meaning somebody sees on Instagram, now it's a lot of the Instagram's a lot of the facial stuff, central lip lift, really everted, super short distance, big, thick, luscious lips, eyebrow contouring, big pulled tail to the eyebrow, kind of that cat look, cheeks, harsh, chiseled, jawline, super harsh and chiseled. And it's our duty to really explain like what they're planning on doing. A dramatic change is something that you and I and all plastic surgeons should really take a minute, talk to that patient and make sure they get what they're doing, because from then on, it's a forever thing. You can do things to modify, improve, change, but it changes them forever. And so I think that, you know, it's really interesting what Instagram does, because it allows people to see like these amazing transformations. Some of them are real, some of them are not, some of them are morphed, but it makes them want it. I think they got to realize, oh, this is like for real. This is a lifelong potential change, and that you may never be able to go totally back to where you were, you know?
Let's just take one that is super hot right now that people are talking about, buccal fat removal. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what it does today, and let's talk about the long-term consequences. It's probably one of the newest, hottest procedures. People have been doing it forever. It's pretty simple, easy procedure. But what does it accomplish, and what are the potential long-term consequences for that patient that undergoes that procedure?
Yeah, you know, this is a perfect one. It's getting a lot of press. I think people are purposely trying to kind of promote it. It's very popular on social and other outlets, and it's been in the news. And, you know, this is interesting. Just like you said, Bill, this is nothing new. Like, you know, this has been practiced for a long, long time. Now, the idea is simple. It's to get rid of excess cheek fullness that's present in this area. If you were to be, you take a line from the corner of the mouth and go posteriorly like this, typically that's where that buccal fat is going to be. Sometimes that can be, it can sit a little lower. But the idea is to give you that kind of more of a transition point between the cheek and the chin. So you kind of have a little bit of that little bit of that depression. Now, obviously you don't want to be over resected like that in like a fish mouth. And so my opinion of this is pretty simple though, is if a patient has demonstrable fullness and wants to have that transition point, then a cautious resection of that, it does very well. I haven't seen many negative sequela of that. Now, if a patient loses a tremendous amount of weight, becomes gaunt in the face, then they're going to look like they were over resected. So this is that same conversation, Bill. It's like when you get body contouring, you have to be at least the same afterwards, or maybe get healthier, but don't gain a bunch of weight. If you do this procedure, they need to be aware that if they lose a tremendous amount of weight, and they have, you know, volume wasting, that it might have an exaggerated look. I personally haven't had that because I usually don't do this on someone who doesn't need it, quote unquote, but it's very possible. I mean, what's your take on it when you have a patient comes in? A lot of these are young patients who are coming in and they want to have this procedure done. What are your thoughts on it? You like it? Don't like it?
I think it's a really great procedure if it is going to achieve the results and the goal that the patient wants. The ultimate downside is, to your point, as we age, we lose volume in our face. And if we lose way too much volume, it can maybe make us look a little bit more gaunt. And I think it's up to us to kind of let patients know what that looks like, mm-hmm. As a long-term sequela of that procedure. But that's the point we're trying to make, is like, let's go over not just today, not just tomorrow. We are a now society. Mm-hmm. We want it tomorrow.
Right.
You know? Just think about breast implants, right? Everybody wants to come in. They want breast implants. They want to schedule right away. They're like, I need them. But we all know breast implants are not for forever. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to not talk about today or tomorrow. We need to talk about, okay, how's your body going to react to this 15, 20, 25 years from now?
Well, this is the concept that you and I kind of harp about, and we're trying to really create this infrastructure in our practice and with all of our providers, this idea of continuum of care. Like everything you do has an effect. The effect can be good, the effect can be bad, the effect could be great initially, and the effect later on could be a little different. And there's different things that are going to have to be done to either maintain, change, reverse that effect. And the same is with any kind of aesthetic intervention. It is not about what you want, Bill, what I want. It is about what a patient wants and needs. But it's an interesting concept, though, because now things are different. Patients are in control of their destiny, and they should be. But it's our job and goal to really protect them, educate them, advocate for them. And once they know, they get to make the decision to move forward, you know? And so it's a big responsibility that all providers need to really take to heart. And I think more and more people are, but for those who aren't, I think it's a wake-up call.
Especially when you're doing, there's nothing really permanent, but a more permanent procedure, right? The more permanent the procedure, the more you have to be aware of these long-term issues. And so that's the kind of my viewpoint on it. How often are we getting patients to come in who immediately take out their phone and say, "Doc, I need you to look at all these Instagram photos. This is what I want. This is exactly what I want." But if they show me a picture of somebody, I don't know if that's real or not real, or they show you all these bikini photos of breast implants. And again, those are difficult because patients are trying to achieve something that they see in social media that we may or may not be able to do.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing, let's just go back to the bikini photos. For me, it's really helpful to see that kind of wish pick, to see kind of what they're trying to go for. But it's hard because like that's a double-edged sword because you want to be like, all right, listen, just FYI, this lady is 25 pounds bigger than you. The chest wall is bigger and wider. In addition, she's wearing a bikini. Her nipple areolar complexes are covered, so we don't even know where they are. I can't see where the folds are. And that bikini is pushing things up a little bit, and that's leading to the roundings of the upper pole. So it's one of those things where I've always felt some of those issues. But the craziest thing, and I think this is an evolution in our population and our society, is that if you just tell the patient that, they're like, oh, I get it. So here's the magic. You and I talk to a patient like we talk to each other. And sometimes we even use those same damn words because they're looking up all this shit anyway, and they want to know every detail. And I think that's probably the best way to approach this is transparency. And I think that's probably the biggest point out of all this is to be transparent with them.
I actually love when they come back for multiple talks or we're on the phone a couple of times, because the more we get to know the patient, the better we can ultimately help them achieve what they want, which is fantastic.
Yep.
Did we solve it? Is social media good or bad for plastic surgery?
My answer is it's here to stay. It's not perfect. And I think we got to control the output of what at least we put out there, our surgeons put out there. And content is king. So I think the more that we can put out real content of who, what, why, more of a, this patient needed this, wanted this, this is why this was done. But you and I know there's plenty of times too where you'll see a result and you're like, that's a great result. But we don't know the backstory behind it sometimes. Sometimes that result took two surgeries to get to or three. And again, this concept of transparency is really valuable, but I think it's here to stay. How do you see it changing? If you could change something about the way social is now, what would that be?
That's a loaded question.
Maybe that's a whole different discussion.
It really is. Maybe age restrictions. I think that'd be one of my first things I would probably like to say is like, I think you have to be a certain age to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, I think kids deal with a lot of anxiety earlier and earlier now. And I don't know if social media helps with that.
Yeah.
So that would be the biggest thing for me. But I agree with you. It is here to stay. I think as a whole for aesthetic surgery, it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It is a mode of communication that we can communicate with prospective patients, our current patients, patients that are just thinking about it. And so they know what's out there and what's available. So for that, I think it's great. I think the more real content we put out there, the better it is. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, very interesting, very complicated, but it's a unique thing that is definitely part of society and it keeps changing. You know, I mean, now it's gone all to video. Even Instagram now is obviously reel based after TikTok made their innovative product that is all video based, and YouTube is now going into the YouTube shorts. So everything is shifting now, obviously, into video, and it's captivating us even more now. Now people are even more stuck on it. Before it was just the still shots. Now the videos really pull people in. So that's probably obviously, we're all shifting into that. But I think we'll probably wrap it up here, guys. You know, if there's anything else complicating your world, let us know. We want to hear from you. So send us your burning questions and we'll answer them on the podcast. Check the show notes for the link to send your questions. And to be notified when a new episode of our podcast is available, click the link in the show notes to sign up for email notifications, and please follow us on Instagram at HKB Cosmetic Surgery.
Links to learn more about anything mentioned on today's show are available in the show notes. To learn more about Dr. Bill Cortesis and Dr. Gaurav Bahardi and the entire team of HKB Cosmetic Surgery, just go to hkbsurgery.com or follow HKB on Instagram at HKB Cosmetic Surgery. Subscribe to our newsletter for key takeaways from each episode, links to any resources we discuss, and promo codes or giveaways from HKB and our partners. If this show has helped you in any way, if you learned something, write a review on Apple Podcasts and share the podcast with a friend. Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code PODCAST to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more. It's Complicated is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.